Sports Hub continues here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM, online at HubCityRadio.com. Wolves midweek edition of our program starts right now. Joining us towards the bottom of the hour is the offensive coordinator for NSU, Coach Braille Brown. But joining us live in studio, the head coach of Northern State Softball, Kaylee Ness, joining the program. Kaylee, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. It's trying to stay warm. How are you dealing with this cold out here?
You know, it has been chilly, but we've been able to make it work.
It's funny you mentioned it's bad with the weather, but if we had like a couple inches of snow, it would probably be a lot worse, right?
Yeah. There's always a silver lining. You just got to find it.
So first year at the helm here, NSU softball. You guys were in Jamestown. What was that, last week or 2 weeks ago now? And you came away with four consecutive wins. Just kind of your overall thoughts here to start the year. Kind of how was the off season and things of that as we lead up here to the new softball season?
Yeah, I think just to preface everything, I feel really blessed just to come into a really welcoming team, a team that's worked really hard for me, that has a lot of love for the game, a lot of love for this program. And so it's been really fun to, you know, just to encourage and build something that can be really successful. And so I think that this starting weekend was just kind of a glimpse into what this team is capable of, and played a couple different levels of talent that weekend. But I think the girls understood what they needed to do to be successful regardless of who we played. And so it'll be exciting to be a little more challenged potentially in this upcoming tournament. But they came out, they did their job, and it was a really fun experience.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off of that. Coach, thanks for coming in on a cold afternoon or morning here. When you talk about the players on your team, and obviously great dugout down there, you know, you're winning, you're up, and some of the team leaders on your team, if you will, that are spark plugs for the Wolves.
Yeah, Abby Rux is a really big one for us, and that's been consistent since day one. She's been a leader on and off the field, someone that I can really kind of rely on to be that vocal person when we're out at practice, or, you know, if someone needs help, she's been that for us. And Emma Owens is another really big one for us. And it was really exciting to see that they actually got NSIC Players of the Week, very deserving. And so it just kind of goes to show that they are who we know them to be. And everyone else can kind of see that too.
And we were talking last year, we talked a lot about, you know, the Wolves softball squad during the spring, and they played a lot of one run games. I mean, it was either 2-1, 1-0 a lot. And, you know, seeing here, obviously the competition a little bit, you mentioned the different levels, you know, you were able to put up 20 runs in a game, 11 runs, 9 runs, 12 runs. I mean, sometimes, you know, you come into a season cold hitting, not for you guys there to start the year.
Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think that the pitching we saw is going to be the best that we'll see throughout season, but they definitely challenged us. And, you know, I'm not going to discredit anything, because some of those pitchers threw pretty well. I think that our hitters went in with a really good mindset and understanding what they needed to do to be successful. And there was some learning along the way. You know, it wasn't always instant for everyone. And so just making adjustments as we go, and regardless of who you play, it's not easy to put up those types of runs consistently. So the fact that the team did that and really built on each other's success was really exciting.
Yeah, I just, as a naive softball fan, baseball guy, I gotta ask this question. You know, it just all the little things, right, matter, right? I'm sure with fast pitch softball, you know, discipline at the plate, throwing a lot of strikes, making them earn their way on. Can you just talk about the translation of, you know, playing small ball, limit errors, good pitching, that type of thing?
Yeah, something that we've kind of just hit on a lot, I think, throughout the whole year, is just being intentional. And so understanding that we're going to experience failure, we're going to experience adversity, and it's just how we can minimize that and handle it. And so them kind of being able to grow and understand what they need to do for themselves and for their teammates, I think, has been really, really beneficial. And to be successful in those situations and understanding that there's a lot of season left, and there's going to be times where we're going to experience failure again. And so just how we can kind of bounce back from that. But the biggest thing is just making sure that they know to be intentional in each opportunity that they get.
Kaylee Ness, head coach of Northern State Softball, joined us here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You mentioned the NSIC Player of the Week, Emma Owens, and the Pitcher of the Week, Abby Rux. I mean, from your vantage point, what do you see from them in particular in that opening? I mean, obviously, they showed up in a big way in those games, but in what did you see from them there?
Yeah, and not not ironically, because it was something that we very trusted in, but they were the players that we chose to kind of be the players to watch for our team this year. And so it was really exciting to see it kind of come to fruition. But like I said, both of them are really strong leaders. You know, they show up every day. They work hard. They're passionate about the game. They're passionate about the program and their teammates. And they're always looking for ways they can get better and ways that they can help their teammates get better. It's never just about themselves. It's about how can I push you to get better? What am I seeing? How can I kind of help build you up too? And they're just as excited, like I said, for their teammates' successes as they are for them. So the fact that they went out and did kind of what we had expected them to do, it just speaks volumes to who they are as people and who they are as players.
You know, coming off a great start to the season, I'm sure those same leaders are probably saying, hey, you know, we're going to face tougher teams and we haven't done much yet, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, we got to look towards the future and yeah, we played well, but let's go back to the grind.
Yeah, something we talk about practice games is, you know, there's always something to be proud of, but never be satisfied with where we're at. There's always opportunities for growth and for us to get better. And the fun part about softball or, you know, baseball alike is anyone mm-hmm. can beat anyone on any given day.
Sure.
And so if we don't show up at our best, you know, there could have been very different outcomes this you know, that past weekend or future weekend. So we just got to make sure that we control the things that we can control and you know, give our all in every opportunity.
I'm just curious, you know, your first year head coach here at Northern, what are some of the challenges being a first year head coach, you know, and what kind of goes into that from, you know, somebody that's never coached a day in his life? But what's kind of the challenges, you know, as a first year head coach trying to get, you know, I guess, used to the players and building the relationships and things of that nature.
Yeah, I think I was fortunate having some head coaching experience coming in. So in terms of like the logistics or mm-hmm. Kind of the ins and outs of stuff, like I was able to kind of have that experience coming in. But I'm a big person in terms of culture and making sure my players feel valued and creating relationships and bonds with them and making sure they know that they're more valued as people than they are as anything else. And so it was a really enjoyable experience for me, and it's been really fun to build those relationships. And so that's kind of just like where my passion is. You know, I love softball, but I love the people that brings into your life. And so I think that that's just kind of been a blessing. And obviously it's different. It's not like just learning a recruiting class that's coming in. It's kind of learning a whole new team, but it's, you know, it's an exciting thing to be able to do just because that's kind of where my passion is.
Yeah, I mean, you piggybacked right into my question. You know, you started at Chadron, and I can kind of see through your roster. You kind of got a Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota kind of recruiting as far as the roster is concerned. And having that connection with players, I think, is obviously a big focus point that you have. But, yeah, I mean, recruiting players, it seems like it'd be tough as far as softball is concerned. Like you said, the talent level can fluctuate. Being able to know if that player's played against the talent level to be able to compete at the next level is a question that I wonder. What your view on that?
Yeah. I that's kind of the nice thing, too. Like, I think recruiting's come a really long ways in terms of being able to watch games online or film and things like that. So I think that that's a really big opportunity for us. And obviously just being able to go out and see them play different competition. I'm working on getting kind of reacclimated to the recruiting grounds of Minnesota. It wasn't someplace that I was really able to pull from in Chadron, being that we were in the RMAC and it, you know, we play further west, so it wasn't easy for us to pull a ton of people from the east, but still kind of been able to use a lot of like my recruiting connections down in the Nebraska side and then really kind of growing the area in Minnesota as well as kind of staying connected to Colorado a little bit. It's an exciting time, I think, for our program and for what we have, not just this year, but future years as well.
I want to talk a little bit about pitching. Obviously, South Dakota and in South Dakota, high school softball is new. I mean, I think this is the third year of it, and we've talked to high school coaches in the past, and they said pitching is really important. And my guess is, you know, as the level in the college level, it's just as important having somebody that could be dominant in the circle, you know, can give you an advantage and you can almost have an opportunity to win every game, kind of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, we even hit on that in that tournament for Jamestown is we don't expect our pitchers to shut everyone out. It's not going to be consistently doable, but the fact if pitchers can keep us in the game and allow time for our hitters to be able to come around and make adjustments and just really have trust in each other's abilities to be able to pull through for each other, that's the biggest thing. And you know, we feel good with our staff and their mentality as a staff. I think it's a really beautiful thing, our pitching staff, just how they really rally around each other and help each other out and build each other up. And it's fun at practice, it's fun in games watching them be excited for each other. And so just them knowing that they don't have to be perfect. They've got a whole defense behind them and a whole offense that wants to work for them. And so their job is just be intentional and do their best to, you know, give us an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, we start talking pitching. What's 1K an inning a high rev pitcher? I mean, or is it a lot of contact where you're going to have to make plays in the field? It might be a naive question, but what's your view on that? I mean, what is a good solid ace, if you will, in softball?
I think it kind of depends on your team's strengths, and I think that can go forward with anything. You know, I think that right now where we're at, I think that we have some pitchers that are going to get some strikeouts, but I also think that they're going to need to rely on their defense. And so that's kind of where it goes with we're recruiting, that they have to be able to balance each other out, that we have to be able to have a defense that can be behind pitchers. You know, if they throw a lot of drop balls and their job is to get us ground balls, then we need to be a defensive team that can handle ground balls. So it's just kind of making sure that, like, the puzzle pieces fit together more so than anything. I mean, obviously, we love a pitcher that could just strike everyone out, right? But
and that's all you see. Like, you know, that's all I know is these girls with this high rise ball and just mowing girls down. I think, is that realistic? I think the ball gets put in play a lot more. I think.
It definitely does. And so, but yeah, we love the strikeouts. We love we love seeing that. We do expect with the pitching staff we have to put numbers up in that area. But yeah, we know we need to have a defense that can make routine plays behind them.
Maybe one more here for you, Coach Ness. You know, looking at the schedule, Central Oklahoma Friday, Washburn, you're going to Topeka, Kansas. Is that, you know, with the weather still going on and just kind of your outlook? I'm sure we'll probably talk to you later on down the season for sure, but just kind of the expectation here, the next couple of matchups there in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, definitely some good teams that we're going to be facing that have historically done really, really well. But the biggest thing that we tell our team is, you know, anyone can beat anyone on any given day, and you can't worry about the name on their jerseys. All that matters is what's on ours. And as long as we take pride in who we are and what we do, and we go out there having each other's back and working hard and being intentional, then we have a really good chance of being successful, and that's the biggest goal, is making sure we go out there, we compete, and we put ourselves in the best position to win.
Well, certainly a great start to the season, 4-0 after that four games there in Jamestown. Next one is versus number 13, Central Oklahoma, 12 p.m. there from Topeka, Kansas. Coach Ness, thanks a lot for doing this, and yeah, we'll talk to you down the line for sure.
Thanks, I appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Coach.
Coming up next here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, we're joined by new offensive coordinator of Northern State Football, Braille Brown. He joins us live in studio next year on FSA. We're back here in a moment. Sports Hub continues here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online, hubcityradio.com. Big thanks to Coach Ness joining us in studio, Northern State Softball. As you can see on the video stream here, we're joined by another special guest, Braley Brown, our new offensive coordinator at Northern State, joins us live in studio. Coach, how you doing? Thanks a lot for taking some time to do this. Welcome to Aberdeen.
Absolutely. Living the dream. Just got in Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Went down to Oklahoma, 12-hour drive to Oklahoma. It was my dad's 60th birthday, and then a 12-hour drive up here. So it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, a lot of driving, huh?
A lot of driving. Me and my girlfriend, we played an alphabet game where, like, you go A, B, C, D on the billboards, and it took us the whole entire trip to finish the game.
Did you run into kind of different weather at all? Like, was it pretty good or what?
No, it was good. It was great weather. Not a lot of views, not a lot of things to see all the way up here, Kansas and Iowa and Nebraska.
Sure.
So we had a lot of quality time.
For sure. And, you know, obviously, we talked to Coach Schmidt a couple weeks ago there for National Signing Day, and he was pretty jacked up, you know, that you're going to be here with the program. Just kind of your first overall thoughts, you know, how this kind of come to be, and just how excited you are to be here at Northern State.
Yeah, I mean, we were fired up. This, I told the offense yesterday, I'm like, you guys don't understand how, especially at this level and the facilities that we have, the support that we have, you know, the community is all in. The game day atmosphere is obviously just seeing pictures and videos, but man, they're very, very fortunate. You don't realize that until you're at another place. And so coming here and just seeing the support and how bad the community wants to win, that's special. And, you know, ending the season 6-1 last year, got a lot of returning starters, play really good defense. I think that we're on the verge of doing stuff around here that hadn't been done in a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, Northern started off rough last year and, you know, then played well towards the latter half of the season. I just got to touch base on your career up until this point, Coach. You started collegiate career down at the Graduate Assistant Running Backs Coach at Midwestern State University in 2018. As you move, transition to Northern, can you reflect on that for a second, just the journey?
Yeah, it's been a journey. You look up and it's like, heck, I've been in this thing for 7 years. It goes quick. It goes really quick. But, you know, I was fortunate enough after being a graduate assistant to be the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma Baptist. You know, looking back, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm ready for it. But then looking back really and digging deep into it, I was like, I was not ready for it.
Sure.
And so a lot of years learning by fire, right? And then after that, I had a chance to go to Colorado Mesa in the RMAC. You know, that was just kind of a get up and go network somewhere else, get a different conference. Oklahoma Baptist is in Oklahoma where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of back home. And so wanted to get to Colorado and then been in the RMAC for 4 years, most recently 3 years at Pueblo. And so it's been a journey, you know, learned a lot. Like I said, being a GA straight into a coordinator, you kind of just do it your own way. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I've been really, really fortunate to have really good football players. And so, you know, I've had 5 quarterbacks in 5 years. And so that's been an interesting deal.
Wow.
Every offense has been a little bit unique just because every year, obviously, what can my quarterback do successfully? And every year has been different. And so 5 in 5 years, it's been a blessing looking back at it because we got to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, talking a little bit more about that, you know, is it tough as a coach kind of seeing what skills work with a different quarterback? You know, maybe 1 year it was a guy that had a big arm. Maybe it was the next year it was a guy that could run a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that go into that year in and year out with a different quarterback.
Right. I just think that's one of those challenges, and it's almost what makes it beautiful because it's like, all right, what are we going to be this year? Because it's a whole new team. You know, last year I had a quarterback that had a 70% completion percentage, but he couldn't run out of sight in the day. And the year before that was actually his cousin, and he ended his career with 102 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown.
Wow.
And so he couldn't either. And so, you know, having Daniel here and, you know, the starter last year, he can – he's athletic, he can move, and so that just opens up the playbook that much more. And you know, you just, again, you got to find what can my guys do successfully on Saturdays. It's not necessarily what I love to do. It's not what looks good on the board. It's like, if we can do this good on Saturdays, we'll be just fine. And so it's unique, and it's a challenge every year, but it's been fun. It's been fun. And we won a lot, and we scored a lot of points, so maybe that's why it's been fun.
Yeah, you led me right in, Coach. I mean, yeah, you talk 5 different quarterbacks, but your teams have been the top in the nation as far as quarterback play, efficiency. I mean, one that caught out to me, really caught my attention is leading the nation in completions. And that'll migrate into my next question. What kind of offense are we going to see here at Northern?
Whew, that's a loaded question. It's not, you know, it's not really a specific style. There's more of an umbrella. And what we're going to do, you're going to see wider splits. We're going to utilize the grass, right? We're going to utilize space. Space is our friend. We're going to stretch it out sideline to sideline, and we're going to take shots. We're not going to throw it deep the whole time. We're not going to go crazy and just throw it deep, deep, deep. We're going to run the football. You know, I told the guys yesterday, I love my big guys up front, but tight ends make the world go round and round.
Sure.
We can have good tight ends that, you know, we're 12 personnel, and we're running it. Boom, now we're empty and 12 personnel. You know, stuff like that is very, very unique. And so we're going to utilize spacing. And again, having Daniel at quarterback and the way that he is in space and just being able, again, to get in our playmakers' hands. You know, last year we 70% completion percentage, like you mentioned, and really a lot of that was just getting in our guys' hands, right? Make them make a tackle is what I tell the quarterbacks every week. If they can make a tackle and they do that over and over and over, hats off to them.
Getting rid of the ball quick then.
Right. Yep. Getting rid of the ball quick, get in our playmakers' hands, and make those guys make a tackle, right? The easiest way, if you're a defense coordinator, I love when incompletions.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that. And so
tackle in space. Make them tackle in space.
Yep. Make them tackle in space, being very efficient with that. And then just utilizing our personnel and different tempos. You know, we'll start no huddle. We'll go fast, 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 and then we'll slow it down, right? And we'll switch up the tempo. But in order to do that, you got to control it. You got to win first down. You know, you got to get into the 2nd and 4, 2nd and 5s. So now, okay, defense, we kind of keep them on their heels, right? So if I can win first down, we can avoid negative plays. Now we can control the tempo, and again, that just plays right into our hand.
And talking a little bit more about tempo, I was talking to a high school coach at Sioux Falls Lincoln, and I think it was Coach Fredenberg, and they ran a kind of a like a no-huddle look, but it wasn't always in a rush. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, we're going to get on the ball and see what the defense gives us. It's like – kind of different than, hey, you know, you hear no huddle, no huddle, we're going to run fast. And
sure,
that's kind of the tempo that, you know, you're kind of talking about, right?
Yeah, so we're going to have six different tempo changes. You know, we're going to practice fast. You come out to a practice, it's going to be bang, 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 bang. Because what I found is that what's the most important thing? How can we win the game Saturday, right? And what's it going to take to score one more points in the team we're playing? And it's almost easier for a defense if you go fast, 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 because that's what they're expecting. But now we're slowing it down. Now we got one word tempo plays where it's super fast. Now it's the same formation, new play. Now it's the same formation, same play. And so there's, again, there's just different tempos to keep those guys on their heels, keep the defense coordinator. You know, we go fast, fast, fast. He gets his calls in quick. Boom, now we're freezing it. And now we get to see what they're doing, and now we kind of got him. Okay, now we're going back really, really fast. And so it's just, again, it's just tools that you utilize as an offense that I don't think gets utilized enough. And so I think that's going to be unique to the conference a little bit. And so that's we're excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, ex-lineman, I got to go towards the line here. you know, just when talking recruiting, right? I mean, we can go have one-on-ones, but we can tell who's a dog real fast with the offensive line, defensive line, right? Skill position-wise, going to take a unique player from the way I sound as far as offense. Can you just talk about that, and what are you guys getting out on the edge going to be able to need to do for the offense to be efficient?
Yeah, offensive line, I gave those guys all big hugs yesterday when I first met them. I love them. I mean, Big Dan, those guys are awesome. And they look good. They walk in, and I'm just like, okay, we can do something with this. And then the tight ends walk in, and I'm like, we can do something with this. And I told them yesterday, I said, for the first time in my career, 12 personnel is an install one. Because I looked at those tight ends and said, those guys need to be on the field. And so we're going to install 12 personnel day one, and we're going to get rolling with that. And, again, tight ends are in this offense are very – because they got to do both, right? They can split out. They can be in the box. They can go in empty. They can do all this different stuff, and we got tight ends that can do that, and that's exciting with that. You know, the skill position, we got really good running backs, one that got hurt last year, and then you got guys that have just played a lot of football and know what it takes – to establish a running game. And so, but it all starts with the guys up front, like you mentioned, and having returning starters and young guys that have contributed last year. And then Big Matt from American River, you know, he got injured. And so he's coming back. Obviously, he'll be full go, and he'll be a leader on the offense for us. And, again, just having guys like that, because it all starts up front, right?
Right.
The skill guys are going to get you the pretty stuff and the points and all the newspaper articles, but it really starts up front. And you kind of take the personality of the offensive line, right? And those guys are gritty. Those guys love Northern. Those guys they're all about it. I mean, meeting with those guys yesterday was awesome. I was ready to put a freaking ball down and go right now.
I love it.
Braylee Brown, assistant or offensive coordinator. Oh, geez, I was all over the place there. I new offensive coordinator here at NSU, joining us in studio on FSA. And Coach, I saw this here in 2020 or December. You were announced a participant for the AFCA 35 Under 35 Coaches Leadership Institute. Can you talk a little bit about that, what that is exactly, and what that means to you?
Yeah, that was an awesome deal. You know, there's over 500, 600 applicants per year, and they choose I don't know how they choose the top. I guess I just did an interview and
sure,
put a video up, and somehow it stuck out. But it was just, you know, 35 guys that are under 35 years old. And, I mean, there was the defensive coordinator at USC. There was a receiver coach at Notre Dame, which obviously he wasn't there because they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Texas State defensive coordinator, Oklahoma, you know, Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator there. And so just being able to be around those guys and learn from them and obviously just talk ball with them. And, you know, we had – a more intimate setting with Kenny Dillingham came in and talked to us. You know, it was David Brom up at Northern that was at Winona.
He's
at Northwestern. Now he came in and talked to us, and I met him and exchanged contacts. And, you know, just having guys like that it's more intimate setting and you learn a lot. I mean, we learned a lot about finances. We learned about agents and just what it takes to navigate through the coaching world. You know, they were talking finances and they were talking when you make $1.2 million and I'm looking at them like, hold on, I raised my hand, I think I'm in the wrong room.
Right. But the day of NIL, it's got to be talked about, right?
Right.
I think,
yeah.
And I think players want to relate to a young coach that can relate to them and motivate them.
Yeah.
And I can tell that you got that, Coach. I'm excited about the season, and you got to be excited to be a part of that and, you know, have that young network of young coaches across the nation, right? Opportunity leads into other opportunities, and excited about seeing the offense here at Northern.
Yeah. You want to add to that? Or?
Yeah, it's just, you know, coming, talking to, with Coach. He, you know, we met at the convention. I've known him for a couple of years, and we sat and we had coffee, and it was just going to be like, you know, just meet him and just say what's up and talk to him for a second. And 2.5 hours later, we were still there, and I haven't even ordered my coffee yet. And so just being able to work under a guy like Coach and a guy that loves this place, that has had success, you know, and that's he wants to win really, really bad. And he does everything that with a program in mind, right? It's never a selfish thing. It's never about the coaches. It's never about the quarterback. It's about what's the best for this program and this community. And just having a guy like that, it's all about the program. It's all about the kids, you know, and just, again, sitting there talking to him for 2.5 hours, it was I was like, God, because I'm not really a talker, which is a talk a lot. But, you know, it was just kind of one of those coffee days. I didn't even order a coffee, and they were closing, and I was like, well, we got to get out of here. And so just having a guy that you want to elevate, you know, I've heard that when you want to elevate your boss, you just work that much harder. And he's a guy, like, I want to make him look good just because he loves this place so much, and he deserves a ring. So let's go get a freaking ring.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited. Go Wolves.
Awesome. And last one here before we get you out of here, you know, they find you're getting settled in now. You said you met with the team. I saw on your Twitter or X, you took a picture with the stadium there. I thought that was pretty neat. So just kind of getting settled in and things of that then, huh?
Yep. So I talked to my girlfriend. She's back in Colorado Springs till April 1st. And so I talked her into driving to Oklahoma with me and then driving up here with me. And then she flew out of Watertown. And so I was like, I'll buy your flight. You can pick out the house. Just drive up there with me. Please, it's 24 hours. I was like, it's a lot of QT. We can have quality time.
Right, right.
And so, you know, we got here and we looked around and did all that stuff. It's funny. The first morning, Coach was like, you got to get there at 5:30. Had 6 a.m. run. So I was like, perfect. Get there about 5:20. Me and the strength coaches are there and the fire alarm goes off. And so we have to go sit outside. And so I'm like, who needs coffee when you could just sit in this wind? I mean, I was the more awake than I've ever been at 6 a.m. I was like, we're rolling, baby. Had snot dripping down my face, frozen.
Yeah, it's cold out here. You came at a time where we've had extreme cold warnings for about 3 straight days here.
Love it. Well, that's what we were talking about. We were like, can't get any worse. And so it's one of those that we call a sticky memory. I'll always remember the first morning when I'm sitting there with the fire department, like, can we just go in at 5:20 in the morning?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You know, we're just
I'm brand new.
Yeah, I was like, I need my wool coat. What is going on? I dressed for the indoor workout. But you know, it's been really good. Everybody's been, you know, one thing about this university that I found, and not just athletic department, but you know, meeting with the HR, the IT, like everybody, they do stuff with intention. And I think if you have a university that does stuff with intention, like one, you don't waste time, and two, it's just so efficient. And you could tell that they love football. I mean, everything was like boom, 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 boom. It wasn't. It just was very smooth. You know, meeting the guys. It's been the first time. I told the offense yesterday. It's the first time that I've ever been at a place where I couldn't tell who played what position because you go to a team run the first time I met them, and they're all just they're all intertwined. It's like the receivers is over here, the defense is over here. It's just like you don't know who's what because usually it's groupie, right?
Right.
Defense is here, offense is here, but it's just like it's Northern. Right, because Northern doesn't beat Northern, and so that was really good. And the culture there is set again. It's just we're on the verge now. We just got to get a little bit better every day.
Braylee Brown, new offensive coordinator, NSU football. Appreciate you doing this, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the line. And I'm excited for what's to come here for sure. You got spring ball coming up and things of that. So looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for doing this here live in studio. Welcome to Aberdeen.
Yep, thank you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Coming up next year on the program, we'll finish up the show, maybe talk a little wrestling since we got Ryan here in studio, and much more here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're back here in a moment. Final segment here of the Sports Hub on FSA. Big thanks to our guests, Braylee Brown, new offensive coordinator there at Northern State football, and also Coach Ness there. For NSU softball, Ryan, a couple of really awesome guests here today at studio.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not excited for Wolves football after listening to that guy, I tell you what. I mean, look up his bio. I mean, top teams in the nation in offense, completions. It's going to be a high-rev offense. Get the ball out of their hand, the quarterback quick, a lot of completions. You know, that's exciting football to me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I think you know, he mentioned a lot, you know, that it sounds like the tight ends are going to be a part of the thing.
Create mismatches, right?
Yeah.
Over the middle. That's the whole key. You know, draw that defense in the middle, in the secondary, make linebackers cover.
And what he said about tight ends, you know, I think is what every team is looking for when you're talking about tight ends. A guy that can spread you out and can catch the ball.
Right.
And guys that can block right next to the right tackle or left tackle and can get their nose dirty inside and you know, against the defensive end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the evolution of the offense of just in football, right? I mean, you got, you know, everybody kind of went to that RPO look. Now they kind of mixed in the passing game with the tight end and splitting them out in a slot and creating mismatches that way. So, yeah, I mean, just it seems like more and more offenses, no matter what level, are going to that, right? Pace of play, get the ball out of the hand, get the running back receivers the ball in space and see what happens. And kind of seems like the same goal as he's got.
Yeah, awesome guests. If you missed the episode, make sure to check it out on HubCityRadio.com. Post the show, plus on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Ryan, obviously, you know, wrestling is going on. You're the big wrestling guy, of course. the Northern State squad had a nice dual win versus Mankato on Friday. And then also you had the State A duels for Central. And, it was pretty interesting, you know, checking that out, kind of following what was going on this past weekend.
Yeah, the biggest take was kind of a swap there at 57 and 65 for Central and Elias Beigler and Mason Shrimp. They both still went on to wrestle well. And, you know, Elias took on the number one rated guy there from Sturgis at 57, lost 2-1. That's got to be exciting, you know, for Donnie Bowden to just kind of mix up the lineup and still have that as success. And, you know, the duel doesn't tell you what goes going to go on in the individual tournament, right? The wrestlebacks will be key. Aberdeen Central is going to have some guys in the quarters that have chance to upset somebody and get into the semis. Once you make the semis, you're in the top six.
Okay.
So there's going to be some guys that are going to have quarterfinal matches that are going to be absolutely huge. They're going to be against a guy that beat you two or three times that year. But if you can pull out a victory in the quarters at State and then get that break and you're in the top six, it's huge for the points.
Awesome. So,
girls going too. Sorry. Yeah, the girls. I started talking about the boys. Girls regional tournament tomorrow.
Okay, girls regional tournament tomorrow.
First time they've had a regional tournament on the girls' side of things. Obviously, it takes numbers and that type of thing. So, excited about Jake Flockus and the Aberdeen Central girls and their opportunity, you know, in a regional tournament format and then kind of ride that wave into the state tournament. It all culminates, you know, next weekend, starting Thursday in the Black Hills. I'll be out there. We'll have round-by-round coverage. I'll provide updates back to all eight of our stations, and I'll start getting out to the local business community for support for that. But yeah, wrestling, great time of year.
Yeah, also you got the region's basketball coming up next week as well, so looking forward to seeing how all that shakes out. I mean, just a lot happening in sports right now.
Right.
Here locally, you got wrestling, you got basketball really heating up. Obviously, no real local things to look at today. Everybody's pretty much off, but we're back at it tomorrow. You're going to be on the call, right, for a doubleheader, Solely Buttes and Faulkton.
Yes, on Thursday. Yep, tomorrow evening, that'll be our last doubleheader as far as the real game of the week. So then we go to the Warner Classic this weekend, a couple games there, and then we start postseason basketball, which is exciting.
Ryan, thanks a lot for doing this. And, Sports Hub, we're back at it tomorrow here on FSA.